Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 15. See with how large letters I write unto you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For not even they who receive circumcision do themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Morning again, everyone. Hope you all had a great week last week, a good night's rest last night, and we're looking forward to another great week serving God. In this message here that Paul is giving to the Galatian Church of Christ specifically, and if you see Galatians 1-2, he's actually talking to multiple churches of Christ, so really church overall, but multiple Galatian churches of Christ, because it says Galatian churches there. But he's emphasizing a very important lesson to them. And this lesson is that one should boast in Jesus. And what we're really talking about is he's warning these Galatian Christians that there are people that are trying to compel them to really do things that are under the Judaic law, things under the old law, and they're boasting about those things only to avoid persecution. Persecution for guess what? The cause of Christ. Persecution for righteousness' sake. So, there are people that are trying to do that are maybe trying to as well get the Galatians to try and maybe be circumcised, maybe start doing things under the old law, and Paul is warning them of that here. So that's really what this message is about, just as a first little overall really summary. Now, keep in mind, the date of this writing is really between 55 to 59 A.D., so this is in your upper 50s as far as in the date and time of this epistle. So there's many things in this epistle that Paul talks about, but I want you to notice that he closes with this really. And it may be mentioning that this big letters is really the entire epistle itself, or it may be that really he's trying to emphasize this last part. But we do know in whatever case that to really write this thing as the last part of the epistle to these Galatian churches is even emphasis within itself. So what we have here is a problem of show. You might call it a problem of showmanship, a problem of show, though, a problem of appearance, a problem of being so concerned about what somebody else thinks about me or what other people might think about me that I change what I do because of the thoughts, because of the beliefs, because of the opinions of others. So what we're talking about here is a problem of show. And this is what Paul is talking about. He puts an emphasis on this problem. He even says with big letters. Now, these words, this word letters here, if you read the text with me, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hands. So he's talking about large letters. The word letters here is plural. So it's most likely talking about the literal size of the letters that he's writing down. Now, obviously, once again, for emphasis sake. Now, with my own hand. With my own hand is another emphasis that we need to talk about. What does that mean? With my own hand. Well, other people usually were the ones writing for Paul the Apostle. Paul had what was called a thorn in the flesh, what he would call a thorn in the flesh. A lot of people believe that it was his eyesight that was the issue, that he had a problem with vision. And that's why he would more often maybe preach than he would write down things. And whenever he did write down things, what would he have happen? He would have somebody else write those things down for him. So most commentators believe that really, it was a problem with eyesight that Paul had, but we do know that he had a thorn in the flesh. So whatever that was, he had an issue that was preventing him at times from doing things maybe that he would do himself. Now, he says here he's writing with his own hand. His own hand. So the Galatians apparently would have known what that meant, that this was emphasis. This is something, Galatian Christians, that I need you to know. This is something that I need you to know because I'm writing it even with my own hand. My own hands. So He's mentioning as well this thorn in the flesh, even in this very epistle in Galatians 4. If you read Galatians 4, verses 13 through 14, you'll see something about it, about his trial. And my trial, Galatians 4, 13 through 15, you know that because of a physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. He's talking to the Galatians. And my trial, which was in the flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So that really talking about his thorn in the flesh once again, his problem that he had. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. If you go back there, you'll read more about what that little, maybe that issue that he had, whatever he was dealing with. Once again, it's not a spiritual issue. It's something that he literally has an infirmity, a physical issue. So he had some kind of an injury that maybe he got at one point. It could have been because of things that we might read in Scripture. It could have been whatever other reasons, but he did get this kind of injury from something. And we know that he even asked God to take it away from him. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Verse 9, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches," this is Paul talking, "in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." So he mentioned this thorn of the flesh to the Galatians, just as he did to the Corinthian churches. So, really this is an emphasis. What we're talking about is an emphasis. Not to talk about this thorn of the flesh here too much, but this is an emphasis that I want you to see. And something else, just as a little side note, is this thorn in the flesh was for Paul's own good. Paul's own good. This was something that God actually did for Paul to keep him spiritually safe. Do you realize that? You think God might do that for you as well in your life? Have some kind of physical infirmity, have some kind of situation, maybe allow that to happen, maybe to chasten you, maybe to help you to be stronger spiritually? I can tell you from my life God has done that. Can you say that, Christians? I hope that you can too. God, of course, has providence in our lives. God, of course, takes care of us. And maybe in that way He's taking care of us, we don't like it first, but we'll like it in the end because it'll be the best for us spiritually. It'll be the best. It'll get us to heaven. So God does things maybe at times we don't like too much. But of course, He's taking care of us. We have to understand that. We have to trust Him. Little side note lesson there. This is emphasis, though. Keep that contextual clue. So what's the current problem going on? Let's go back to verse 12, Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 12. "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Now, this is something I don't understand here. I would think myself that I would be ready to suffer maybe the types of persecution that they were suffering back then. Maybe I wouldn't be. Can you say that you would be? Maybe you wouldn't be, whatever. The types of persecution that they were suffering was fatal a lot of times. The Jews were going around and stoning them. The Jews were going around and imprisoning them. And so those are the types of things they were dealing with. But nonetheless, what they were trying to do, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, this is really showmanship. This is something they're doing as far as appearance to save them in their own necks from persecution for the cause of Christ. So Christians, this is something to be concerned about. We live in a good country, don't we? We live in the United States. We don't have much persecution fatally. We don't have people coming and stoning us. We don't have people coming into our houses and beating on our doors and saying, "Are you a Christian inside there?" We don't have that going on. Can we in the future? We can in the future. It could happen. I'm not going to promise you it won't happen. I'm not going to promise you it will happen, but we can have it happen. It can happen. It happened in the past. It happened thousands of years through whenever all those denominations were rising up. It was happening then too to true Christians. It can happen in the future too. So what I'm really trying to emphasize to you is that we need to be ready for that. If somebody was to persecute you tomorrow for the cause of Christ, would you rather be somebody else that you've never been before? Would you just change yourself completely just so you don't have to suffer that persecution? You think some Christians have been guilty of that in these days? Yes. Some Christians have been guilty of that. Maybe we've been guilty of that. Maybe changing ourselves completely in the moment because our coworker starts maybe saying a dirty joke. Maybe our coworker starts doing this, maybe misbehavior or whatever it is. And then we want to maybe take in with that, or maybe they're wanting us to take part in that. And if we know if we don't take part in that, they're going to start saying things against us. They're going to start saying mean things to us. So what do? We change ourselves completely. We show a completely different person than we do when we come to church services, than we do when we're a Christian, as we're supposed to be, the rest of the time. Shouldn't be like that. That is what Paul is trying to warn these Galatians of. When these people try to come up to you and compel you to be a Jew, to show yourself as a Jew, just so you can save your own neck, don't do that. Be a Christian 24/7, 100% of the time. Boast in Jesus. Don't boast in things of Judaism that are dead and gone. Don't boast in things of maybe paganism, maybe things that other beliefs that you believe in that are dead. Believe in Jesus. Boast in Jesus. Act like you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, act like it. Behave like it. Be a Christian. And let people know that you are. Otherwise, what are you doing? Are you taking the Great Commission of people by your example even? If you're acting like somebody other than a Christian, no. Of course, I wouldn't be either if I was doing the same thing. So the current problem going on is a problem of appearance. It's a problem of show. They're boasting for a fleshly reason. They're boasting for reasons they shouldn't be boasting about, obviously, as Christians. So, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, verse 12, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. The specific issue is circumcision. That's not really an issue today, is it? You see people going around telling you you need to be circumcised? I haven't seen it. I don't see that. I see people going around telling you need to wear priestly garments. I do see Christians going around telling you need to do maybe different things from the Old Testament. Why do I see that? I have no idea. Because I'm not under the old law. Are you under the old law? No, you're not. So why do we see that? Opinions and beliefs of others. I can tell you an opinion of mine all day long. I can start this entire new faith if I want to, and maybe some people will believe it. Does that make it divine? No, it doesn't. Does that make it the current testament? No, it doesn't. The New Testament is the current testament. That's final. That's it. So it doesn't matter what we believe, what we think, what we feel, what we have as an opinion, what we might think, what we should take from the Old Testament and apply to the New Testament. It doesn't matter. It's what God says. It's as simple and straightforward as that. That's how it's always been across all time. To Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua, to all the prophets, to the apostles, to Jesus, to everyone, to us today, to the churches of Christ. Just what God says. Simply. So boast in Jesus. Don't preserve self by showing someone else. And I try to tell people, be yourself all the time. Be yourself. And Christians, what we are, what we should be, is yes, ourselves and our personalities. We should mesh that with the good behaviors of Christ, with the good behaviors, the standards of heaven, the good behaviors and the standards of God. That's what God wants us to do. He's not asking you to change your personality. He's not asking you to change how you are. He's wanting you to mesh that with Jesus' behaviors, with patience, with love, with mercy, with grace, with all these different things that Jesus showed to you. Show that also to others. That's not changing your personality. That's making you a better person. That's not what God's trying to do. He's trying to make you a better person, make you live up to the standard of heaven, and make you worthy to be able to go to heaven. So, of course, that's also up to us and our choice. What's the problem, once again? A problem of showmanship. A problem of appearance. These people, these Jews, they're going around compelling people to be what? Circumcised. Circumcised. So if it's not a tunic from the Old Testament, circumcision. If it's not priestly garments from the Old Testament, circumcision. If it's not sacrifice, it's circumcision now. So this is a specific issue, but it's just as bad as all the other ones. Why? Because it's from the Old Testament. So obviously, Christians, we know that we're under the New Testament, or we should. Galatians 3, let's turn there. Same epistle, Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14. 10 through 14, Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, this is talking about the old law, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law, verse 12, is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that is the old law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All that to say, the old law was a foreshadow of the things of Christ, just as we might read in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Foreshadow, it's things before. It was a curse, and now we've been blessed that we have the Christ now and Christ's law. We're under that. We're not under the old law, so quit going back to the old law. Even if it is for show, even if it is to be fake, to avoid persecution, quit going back to the old law. Christians, some of us might think this is not a problem, but is this a problem today? I can tell you it is. I can tell you it is a problem. In fact, it's a problem that split churches of Christ. In my area that I came from, split churches of Christ. Old Testament laws in churches of Christ. Is that acceptable? That's not acceptable. Never has been, never will be. The New Testament is what we're under. That's what we're here today worshiping God under. The New Testament. It's as straightforward and simple as that. We are under Christ today. We're not under the law of Moses. The law of Moses was to be a foreshadow of the things of Christ. So, these things are for show. It's really all for fake anyways. As Paul is saying here, these people compelling others to do this to save their own necks. It's all for show anyways. But still, we're not under the Old Testament. Let's continue. Let's talk about these maybe persecutions for righteousness' sake. How we should be willing to suffer those things. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verses 21 through 22. Matthew 10, 21 through 22. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. This is Jesus speaking. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So, what we have here, what we're talking about is persecution for the cause of Christ. Suffering that for the cause of Christ. If you're not willing to give up all these things for that, of course, if you're not being hated, there may be a problem. Let's read verse 34. Verse 34, same chapter. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Once again, still Jesus speaking. Verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You think refusing persecution for the cause of Christ by showing yourself as a non-Christian, you think that's acceptable to Christ, acceptable to God? All those apostles who sacrificed their lives for Jesus, maybe disciples after that, Jesus himself giving his life, you think it's acceptable to turn down persecution if it shows up to your door? Maybe put on a different face for the day? Well, maybe if we act as Jews for the day, God will understand. Maybe if we act as pagans for the day, God will understand. You think God understands? No, of course not. Of course not. If persecution shows up to our doors, Christians, if it shows up to this church building, we better be ready to take it. We better be ready to take it with an open arm. Thank you. I've been worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. That's how the apostles were treating it in the book of Acts. Let's make sure we're ready for that day as well. I hope you're ready, Christians. It may come to you. It may come tomorrow. Maybe your co-worker. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe your brother. Maybe your sister. Maybe your daughter. Maybe your father. Maybe your grandfather. Whoever it is, it may come to you. So are you going to be ready for that, or will you put on a different face for the day? You get the point? You get the point there? 2 Timothy, let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 12. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Once again, talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let's read it. This is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we also shall live with him. If we endure, we also shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. If you deny Christ, as maybe Peter did, and you continue to deny Christ, you think that's acceptable before God, you choose that with your heart, and you think you can keep doing that and continue avoiding persecution, no, you can't. You can't live like that. That's not acceptable to God. You can't live like that as a Christian, that is, and be acceptable. Absolutely not. Let's go to now Luke chapter 9. Talking about being willing to give up everything for Jesus. Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 23, that is. Luke 9, verse 23. Verse 23, let's read it. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Verse 24, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly," verse 27, "there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Let's turn to verse 57. Verse 57. Keep those things in mind. Turn to verse 57. "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Verse 60, Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' Jesus said to him," verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, you must be willing to give up all for Jesus' sake. All for the gospel's sake. If you have a brother or sister who doesn't like that about you, that you're a Christian, you must be willing to give it up. If you don't have maybe a cousin, if you have people persecuting you, don't put on a different face for the day. Take it. Take it. Because you've just been counted to be worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. That's a thing to rejoice about, just as the apostles did. Rejoice about it. Luke chapter 14, read it with me. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke 14, 25. "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" Continuing on, verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000 men? Verse 32, "Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise," verse 33, here's the point, "whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." You must put Jesus first in your life. If you're not willing to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ, there's a problem with your heart. You need to fix that. Be willing. Don't avoid it. Don't put on a new face for the day just to save your own neck. Be willing to suffer it, Christians. Let's continue in our main text. Go back to Galatians. We're going to say a few more things. Galatians chapter 6, verse 13. "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." So, what's happening here? The Jewish hypocrisy and the Christian's endurance. Here's the Jewish hypocrisy. We just read it. The exact problem, once again, they're compelling others on is circumcision. Now, this is something that was required under the old law. We won't read all the details, but it's in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You'll see that every male in Israel was to be circumcised on what day? The eighth day. The eighth day. Once again, is this something of the New Testament law? It is not. It's something in Leviticus, something in the old law. So they're compelling people to be circumcised. Gentiles who are becoming Christians, Jews maybe who weren't circumcised, to become circumcised, Is it something that matters in the New Testament law? Does Jesus demand we be circumcised? No. No. We can say this just as we can say with any other Old Testament law or principle. Anything else like that. Anything else. It's not in the new law. You could be saved by knowing the new law and not the old law. The old law is a tutor to bring us to Christ. It has great examples of faith that lead us to becoming Christians and lead us to staying Christians, becoming faithful our whole lives to be acceptable to God. But we don't need it for salvation. We need the new law for salvation. We're under the Messiah's law today. Christ's law. The one that they prayed for as Jews. The Messiah. We're under His law. Not Moses' law. Moses was a man. Jesus is who? He's God. Obey God, not man. Christians, quit going back to the old law. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. Quit going back to the old law. If you have an opinion that you need to bring this thing over here, if you need to put it in the New Testament, if you want that person over there to start obeying this law, it doesn't matter. Why do I say these things? Why do I emphasize these things? Because it's a problem in the church. It's a problem in the church. It's happening to congregations. You may not have seen it, but it's a problem in the church. It split churches up. It's made friends of mine go away. People split off because of things that they believe from the Old Testament that should be in the New Testament. But they're not in the New Testament, are they? They're not. You can see I'm a little emotional about it because it's a problem in the church, once again. It's leading to maybe the loss of people's souls. So it's something to be concerned about. It's something to deal with. Something to talk about, Christians. Of course, we need to talk about all issues like that. This is a very, very good text. We need to keep reading. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. Or, not 1. Genesis 21, that is, verse 4, is where Abraham also circumcises his son, of course, Isaac, on the eighth day. He was supposed to do that because God commanded him. God commanded that under the Old Testament, not under the New Testament. So something also the Jews believed in is that proselytes coming into Judaism, coming into Israel, were to be circumcised. So if you weren't circumcised on the eighth day, if you're coming in as a proselyte and you're a male, you're a man, you had to be circumcised. That's something they believed. That's something they taught that was technically right under the old law. So that's what they believed in. Once again, we're not under the old law as this text, of course, is happening at this time. 55, 59 A.D. We're under the new law now. Let's continue. We won't read the whole thing, but 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17. We'll continue from there. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. All right, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain all in all the churches. Was anyone, verse 18, called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Once again, Old Testament laws are nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you could be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Like he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Verse 23, you were bought as a prisoner. You were bought at a price, that is. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. So the whole point here is that things like circumcision, they don't matter. Remember Abraham when he was willing to sacrifice his own son? Remember that? Did Abraham realize that keeping the commandments of God is what matters? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He realized that. We should realize that too, Christians. We should realize that too. Imagine us as Jews. We've obeyed the old law our entire life. Our entire life. I've held to this old law my whole life, Jesus. My whole life. How can you come down here and tell me a new law to live by? How can you tell us that? Because I'm God. Because I'm God. That's why I can tell you that. That's what a lot of Jews didn't want to accept. Because Jesus was God. That's why he could tell them that. And they need to follow it. If Jesus came down here and told us another law to follow, would we need to follow it? Yes. Why? Because keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Has he done that? No. under the New Testament. We have everything we need in the New Testament. We obey this New Testament. It would have been hard for Jews to convert over to the New Testament. But, once again, keeping the commandments of God is what matters. The Old Testament is from God. It's not from Moses, it's from God. The New Testament, likewise, is from the same God. So obey in the New Testament. Now, obey God. Keep His commandments continuously, no matter what it is. Another reference you can look at is Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 1 through 6. We'll read it real quick. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of by which Christ, Galatians 5, 1 through 6, by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law, that is the old law. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision once again, nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You can might as well be saying something from the old law doesn't avail anything in the new law. Why? Because it's gone, because it's dead, because it was a predecessor to the new law, which we are under, Christians, friends. So, I don't mean to keep going on that. Another reference you can put down if you're taking notes is Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 11 through 15. So put that down as well. Let's read the last couple verses and we'll be finished real quick. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. Now we're back in Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor circumcision avails anything but a new creation. So, once again, verse 14, we talked about it, the Christian's endurance. The Jewish hypocrisy and the Christian's endurance. So don't be putting on a new face tomorrow, the next day after that. Don't put on a new face just because somebody comes up and says a mean word to you or is going to be mean to you for being a Christian. Don't put on a new face for the day and say, oh, I'm not a Christian. I'm not like those people. I'm not with those people. I'm not like those Jesus people, as they call us sometimes. You ever been called a Jesus person? I've been called a Jesus freak, I think. Yeah, Jesus freak. By one of my granddad's neighbors. Yeah. Whenever I was real young, I remember somebody coming over and calling us Jesus freaks. That was real nice to hear. But at that time, was that persecution? Actually, it was. It was persecution. God was coming over and calling us Jesus freaks just to do it. So, yeah, people will do that to you. Don't put on a new face for the day just to save your own neck. That's the point here, Christians. Don't put on a new face for the day. Be enduring as a Christian, even through persecution. Whatever means necessary, be willing to stand up for the God who stands up for you. He stands up for you, stand up for Him. If you ask Him in prayer for things, if you want Him to help you, why are you not also standing up for God? It's not going two ways there. It should be a two-way street. You see what I mean? So, of course, Christians have an endurance to you. Now, one thing that we can talk about is Paul. That was a man who endured. That was a man who never hesitated, it seems, to always suffer persecution. You go to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 through 23. We won't read that, but read it later. Read it at whatever lunchtime, maybe at supper, whatever, tonight, whatever, tomorrow, whatever. That man suffered tons of persecution for the cause of Christ. He didn't hesitate. We should also be like that. Trials in the wilderness, trials with robbers, trials in the sea, trials wherever it was, in prisons, in synagogues, in cities, in towns, at the doors of people's houses, wherever it was, outside the gates, on the roads to cities, just as we go, Christians, on a daily basis, we can face persecutions like that. Be ready for it. Be ready for it. Don't avoid it and put on a new face for the day and try to save your own neck. Don't be like that, preserving yourself. Boast only in Jesus. Don't boast about fleshly things like circumcision that don't avail anything in the New Testament today. Don't boast about things like that. Don't put on a new face for the day. Stand up for God who stands up for you. Galatians 6:15, last thing, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Last little phrase, but a new creation. You are creatures, new creatures, that is, in Jesus Christ as Christians. If you are a Christian, you are born again. John 3:3 through 5. Born again, you know what that means? It means you're a new creation. You're not like everyone else. You're different now. You're different. So guess what? You have to be different now. When you're baptized in that water back there, it's time to be different your whole life. You don't get to just pick and choose one day or another. It's time to be different. I don't get to do that either. We have to do it God's way. 24/7, 100% of the time, we have to suffer persecution. If we need to, we get to heaven that way. We don't do it any other way. We do it under the New Testament law. If this message this morning has pricked your heart, if you need to respond to the invitation at all, if you need prayers for a loved one, prayers for yourself, please do let us help you this morning. I always say, or I should be always saying that, is if you have private prayer requests as well, let us help you with that also. Come up to me after services and let me pray with you. Let us help you, whatever it may be. Announce us, let us help you. If you're not a Christian this morning and you want to be saved, you know that you're lost in sin without Jesus, and you are, without Jesus, lost in sin. You know that. You're in danger of hellfire without Jesus. You know that. Be saved today. Believe Jesus is the Christ. If you believe that, confess it before men. Repent of your sins. Repent of those sins, the former things, which don't matter anymore after becoming a Christian and being washed of your sins. And then be baptized in this water right here. We got it ready for you. It's ready for you. I think it's warm too. It'll be nice and warm for you. We got it ready. And remain faithful unto death. And Jesus, God, will give you the crown of life. Will you do that today? The invitation is yours, friends. Will you come to the front as we stand and praise God together?
Come to Jesus.